Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
The three kind of things that inspire me every day to a life of profound purpose. One of those, and I'm going to talk about all these, but just I'm going to mention them in brief. One of those is, we can call it view, wisdom, that understands that things are not as they appear. Everything is more dreamlike than it appears. That's one part of the wisdom that we can gain in this life, along with the understanding that that means that nothing is fixed, least of all me. I depend upon, not me, your me's as well, all those me's over there. There's nothing fixed about any me anywhere, because me depends upon my thoughts and what I'm identifying with. So this room for profound transformation and change exists because of everything not being solid and real, inherently existent, and so on. So this is one profound purpose of our life, is to realize the true nature of reality. That's just that. Easy peasy, right? Number two is our motivation, which is to do this for everybody, because, well, it's kind of boring just to do it for ourselves and leave everyone else floundering in suffering and ignorance and despair. If we can do it for everyone, let's do it for everyone, right? Live for everybody. And I don't know if you generated that thought, may everyone be happy, everyone be free. Did you manage to generate that thought just then? So I think you're all saying yes. Yeah. So if you think about it, in about 20 seconds in time it took me to say, please generate the thought, may everyone be happy, you just did it. You just did it. Some of you are brand new. You've never been to the center or done any of these meditations before, but you just managed in 20 seconds to develop a mind that loves all living beings. So we have incredibly limited notions about ourselves. We think, I can love maybe two people. I can have 100 Facebook friends. Beyond that, that's it, really. I may be able to become a little bit kinder, a little bit nicer, a little bit less annoying, a little bit less angry, a little bit, you know, more fun to be around. But love all living beings, as Buddha says, you know, you can love all beings. Nah. But the fact is you can, because you just did it. I rest my case. Okay, it may have been quick and superficial and whatever. It may have gone away again. But that's only through lack of training. That's not through lack of capacity. It's through lack of training. So second profound purpose is our motivation is to train in loving other people, getting over ourselves, living a life that's far bigger than one that's just concerned about our pokey little self-concern. One little tiny person in, you know, an ocean of countless living beings who could do with our help. Right? Why not live a life that's big like that? Like really big. Really, really, really big. I mean, much bigger than just thinking about me and maybe a few people around me when I like them, not on the days I don't. Right? So that's the second profound purpose. And then the third is faith, where we actually have some vision about what's possible. We already developed some faith because we already thought about our own Buddha nature. It's possible for me to become more loving, possible for me to become more wise. That's faith, actually. You know, it's based on some experience and some understanding, but it's actually faith allowing ourselves to think bigger about who we are. And by extension, we can think, if I can develop my own capacity for compassion and my own capacity for wisdom, then presumably I'm not the first and only person who can do that. And it is conceivable, is it not, that there are people who've done this already. This is not, we're not the first people sitting here listening to Buddha's teachings, let alone trying to put them into practice. We're one of a long, 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 long line of people who've done this already. And if in 20 seconds I actually develop universal compassion, and there's people around who've been doing this for years and years and years and years, and years in all these previous generations as well, then it is conceivable, is it not, that they is enlightened beings exist, that beings who have transcended suffering through getting rid of all their delusions, that they exist, that people who have love and compassion for all living beings exist, those who've penetrated the true nature of things. Anyway, it's conceivable, isn't it? Is it? Okay, that's faith, right? That's faith. You're putting your mind there. That's faith. It's not so mysterious after all. So we have these inklings that life could be very meaningful. But we are also, I'm going to talk for myself here, we're creatures of habit, and we're creatures of laziness as well, not to put too fine a point on it. We're kind of lazy. And laziness doesn't just mean lolling around watching Netflix for 10 hours in a row. That's included in laziness. But laziness can be quite subtle. It's any kind of procrastination, like putting it off, like, oh yeah, I can get enlightened. Yes, sounds good. I'm going to do it. But not just yet. I think I'll wait a bit because I've got things to do, right? I've got people to see. I've got careers to follow. I've got dogs to feed. I don't really have time just now, but that's okay because I'm going to do it because I love the idea of it. It sounds very inspiring. I'm going to love more people. Yeah, great. But I got time. This is actually one of our biggest problems is that we think we have time, right? Do we have time? Precious little of it. But we procrastinate. Geshe-la says in Joyful Path, his big yellow book, which has everything in it, he talks about these three types of laziness, and he says the laziness of procrastination. See if you recognize this at all in yourself. It's a reluctance or unwillingness to put effort into our spiritual practice right now. Like right now. 10 minutes time next week when I retire, yes, definitely. But right now, for example, if we're interested in Dharma, believe it to be worthwhile. Dharma means Buddha's teachings, you know, and intend to practice it, but we think that the time to practice is sometime in the future. We're suffering from this laziness, procrastination. This attitude is very harmful, he says, because time passes quickly. Our opportunities are soon lost. Duration of our life is uncertain. It really is, you know. We think we're going to live forever. But, you know, life passes quickly, really like a dream. So, what happens also if we procrastinate? What actually happens is that we don't do anything. I'm smiling because it's kind of like funny, really. We procrastinate, so we don't get around to actually practicing Dharma. In any serious way, maybe, you know, a few minutes here and there when we're feeling inspired, and then we go back to our normal old stuff. And then, so basically we don't change very quickly, if at all, because we're not really doing anything, right? Sort of stands to reason that we don't do anything, we're not going to get any results. But then we think, this stuff's great, right? But it's so discouraging because actually I can't do it. I haven't changed at all. Geshe-la says, you know, in these degenerate times, there are many things that can make us feel discouraged with our spiritual practice. Since we cannot see with our own eyes living examples of enlightened beings, and since our spiritual progress is often much slower than we expect it to be, the reason it's slower than we expect it to be is because we have very unrealistic expectations. We think, if I just do 10 minutes a week, you know, I should be a bodhisattva by in about 3 years' time. But it doesn't really work like that. So we get discouraged. We may begin to doubt whether enlightenment's even possible. We may conclude it must be so rare that there's almost no hope of attaining it. This is a type of laziness. It's actually deluded. It's not based on any facts. It's not based on reality. It's based on distorted thinking that comes about from, well, what we just said. So as a result of procrastinating and as a result of feeling discouraged, we think, well, okay, from one point of view, I'm going to be doing this later when I have more time, which then therefore means that I have a lot of time now to do other things like, you know, like watch Netflix or discuss politics and other things that I can do literally nothing about, but let's discuss them endlessly anyway. I have so much time for that because, of course, I'm going to be practicing Dharma later. I'm not going to be doing it now. I'm going to be doing it later, so that leaves me lots of time. I've got time. We don't actually have time. So I'm going to actually turn to this verse, which has always has impact on me, which comes up in this book, Oral Instructions, the Mahamudra. It's the prayer of, it's part of a prayer, and it goes like this. It says, "Yet my breath is like mist about to vanish. And my life is like a candle flame about to die in the wind. Since there is no guarantee I will not die today, now is the only time to take the real meaning of human life, the attainment of enlightenment." So is there any guarantee that I will not die today? Anyone guarantee? Anyone got any guarantee of that in this room? Can you guarantee you're not going to die today? One day it'll be today, won't it? We don't know when. We have a few hundred months at most, right? If you check it out, however old you are, at most a few hundred months, at some point in that time, we're going to die. Don't look at me like that. I'm not putting a curse on you. I'm just... I'm just saying something I'm afraid is just factual. No one's survived life yet, and we're not going to be the first, so I may die today. So then we think, okay, this starts to change things a little bit, because what am I doing with my life if I die today? Then what? But then, you know, Geshe-la says this in the next sentence. He says, "Now is the only time, today, now, now is the only time to take the real meaning of human life." And then he doesn't say, you know, now is the only time to take the real meaning of human life and do a 5-minute breathing meditation. I mean, that would be great, right? Nothing wrong with a 5-minute breathing meditation. Or now is the only time to take the real meaning of human life and be nice to someone. That's also a good thing. No, he says, attain enlightenment. We're like, what? Now? I've got to attain enlightenment right now. And in a way, that's exactly how we need to be thinking. Now is the only time to take the room of this human life, attain enlightenment. Within that, we can then do a 5-minute breathing meditation. We can be kind to someone. But within that sense of now, I've got to attain enlightenment, because what other time do I have, honestly? What other day do I have other than today? If I do postpone this till next week or whatever, I have no idea where I'll be next week, let alone next year, let alone in 10 years. And I'm talking to myself here, because this procrastination can be quite subtle, you know. It can be like, yeah, it can be quite subtle. It can be like, even when we're meditating, we can have the sense, oh, I'm actually going to do this meditation properly later. I like it. I can't wait to do it properly later when my conditions are a bit better and it's a bit quieter and no one's coughing. I'm looking forward to that. It's a bit like when you take those snapshots when you're at a concert or whatever, like everyone's got their phone up and they're like taking a picture. I just thought of this now. It may not work, this analogy, but you take your picture of everyone at the concert thinking, yeah, I'm going to look at this properly later. Yeah, right. Does anyone ever look at their photos of things? Do any of you ever look at your photos of things that you've taken photos of? I know I don't. I've got thousands of photos and I honestly do not look at any of them. Every now and then Google tries to remind me, look at this, what you did. And I'm like, oh, whatever. But I'm onto something new, you know. I'm not even interested, actually. Maybe brief. And do I actually deliberately look at my photos? Literally never. Do you? Maybe you show them to people. Their eyes glaze over with boredom. Okay, so this is our thing, right? We're like in the present moment, maybe even at a class, maybe even doing a meditation and thinking still, I'm going to do this properly later. I'm talking to myself here. I'm going to get around to it later. I'm going to be a real proper bodhisattva later. Right now, this is great, but are we really, 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 really going for it? That's just a question. Or is there some subtle procrastination? There may be some total procrastination where we're not even trying at all, you know. Or there may be subtle levels of procrastination. And this is, as Geshe says, a dangerous attitude because we think we have time, but to be honest, we don't. As most people realize when they get older and deader, right? They're like, wow, I wasted a lot of time. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd actually thought about that. Now is the time to attain enlightenment. Today, but I didn't. I got distracted. So let us, I mean, we don't want that to be our life story. So this is one thing that is, yeah. I'm going to tell you a little story about my teacher, Venerable Geshe-la. Well, actually, it's about me and him. But I went to see him. I was teaching in Florida. I don't know why I'm telling you this story. It's actually quite embarrassing. I went to see him because I was teaching in Florida at the time, and I went to see him, and I was, to all intents and purposes, a Dharma practitioner. I thought I was. I've been doing it for years already. I loved it. It was the meaning of my life. But I had this idea that I would ask Geshe-la, my teacher and founder of the center, whether I'd calculated in my mind whether I could do a retreat in 7 years' time for 3 years before I got like too middle-aged and old, right? And my faculty started leaving me. So I thought, I had it all planned. I had a brilliant plan. It was like, I'll keep teaching for 7 years. I had a precise date in mind. And then I'm going to go and properly meditate. And I had that idea in my mind. And this conversation actually did not go very well. So I said to Geshe-la, this is how it started. I know my main job is to teach Dharma. This is just my preamble. I know my main job is to teach Dharma. Da, 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 da. And he immediately interrupted me right there and said, that's not your main job. That is not your main job. Your main job is to practice Dharma. He's very strong on that. Your main job is to practice Dharma. But I was sort of didn't quite take all the hidden cues at this point, so I carried on. Okay, Geshe-la, yeah, my main job is to practice Dharma, right? Yeah, I know that. But in 7 years' time, I'm thinking about doing this retreat. And he looked at me. At this point, he looked at me like I was an alien. I felt like, what are you saying? And he said, Lucy, what are you saying? You're telling me you're going to start practicing in 7 years' time. He said, you have to practice now. You only have now. You could easily be dead in 7 years. And he gave me like a half hour teaching on how I had to practice Dharma now. So, two things. One, I had to practice Dharma, full stop. He then said, you know, if you practice Dharma, everything else will come from that. Everything else, he said, follows naturally from that. If you practice Dharma, everything else will follow naturally from that. That is your main job. And then the other thing he impressed upon me is that thinking I'm going to practice any time in the future, let alone 7 years. He was talking about 7 years like it was an eternity. He said, 7 years? You said 7 years. He said, did I hear you properly? 7 years. You're going to start practicing in 7 years? Anyway, that impressed. That was very powerful, so I share it with you because it was powerful for me. And when I read this verse, I get the same. I can just imagine him saying this, you know, now is the only time to take the real meaning of human life, the attainment of enlightenment. Now, today.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.